listening to Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous brownie stealer.
The chocolate brownie
the
stealer.
The chocolate brownie stealer, Jewel Serkin.
Telling you, if you put them next to the crisps, what do you expect? What do you expect? Yes, well, I have always had a little penchant for chocolat.
Oh, well.
A little penchant for chocolat.
Yeah, Neville, one of our guests today, has brought in a little tray of pan of chocolat, well, which I'm not eating.
Not just the one tray. And they're delicious. They're delicious,
they?
Yeah. We have a cracking show for you today. I would like to ask who our sponsor might be.
We're sponsored this week by the lovely folks at Telford's Accounting.
Of course, the lovely Tim Brooker does my accounts there.
Does he? Yeah. Yeah, from Telford's, yeah.
He's very diligent, he is.
Yeah.
Puts up with me as well, you know.
Oh, no, that must be really...
You know me and my admin. I'm not really
you're
a
not
fan
on the
of
ball,
admin.
No. Does he send you loads
I'm on the ball in other things, but really admin.
Does he send you those little notes that says you must now pay your VAT bill?
Well, you know what's happening with me all the time, which really bugs me? You know how you've got the whatever it's called that connects to your bank?
Zero.
Thank you. It's always what?
It always fails.
Yeah, I have to connect. What do you have to do that? As
I
well?
Have it all the time.
It drives me nuts.
Timmy sends me a message. Goes,
yeah, I get that.
We can't connect to your bank account anymore. No, it's not. You know, well, it's the bank. They're being useless.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. I'm actually with the Co-op FSB Bank. Have been for years, but I've moved to Revolut, and I wonder if it'll be better. You never know.
Is that personally or your business account?
My business account. I've moved from Co-op. I've still got it with Co-op, but I'm moving. I've opened with Revolut.
Okay.
Shay Serkin told me to. He says it's very good.
Yeah.
Why the laugh?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking. HSBC. Oh, my God. How incompetent can you ever
open
get?
Open a Revolut and see how you get on.
No. I move bank. I'm with Metro Bank now.
Oh, are you? They're good, aren't they?
Yeah. But
they're actually open to customers.
Yeah, they are.
In the high street.
7 days a week.
Yeah.
You can actually walk in and talk to a human.
Yeah, I like that.
But no, I mean, if you recall, I had loads and loads of problems with HSBC.
Yeah, you didn't get your lunches from IFF Kitchen.
I had loads and loads of problems with HSBC. And they kept writing to me saying, no, there's no problem, no, there's no problem. Then they wrote to me and went, yes, there is a problem, then there is a problem. And for 7 months, they kept writing to me, telling me that they were going to shut my account because I haven't done what they said they were going to do. And then... 8 months ago, I moved accounts. 4 months ago, I got a letter from them saying, are you ever going to sort this problem out? Because we're very unhappy with you. You haven't sorted it out. So I wrote back and I go, well, I haven't got an account, so there isn't one to sort out. Right. Last week, I got a letter from them. Thank you for now providing the information we asked for. And we can now confirm that your account is open.
It's like, who's it run by? Meerkats.
An idiot. Yeah.
I tell you, we have a little house in Spain, in Mariara, in the Valencia area, and we haven't been for 2 years for various reasons. And they cut our electric off because Spanish banks, you think they're bad here, Spanish banks, you know, it's all mañana. And they changed our mortgage, put it on to from interest only to whatever, payment, without telling us. I mean, they've probably written to us, but they haven't emailed us or let us know, bearing in mind we don't get our post at the moment. So I think a payment was stopped because we didn't have enough money, and my new husband can't access it online very well because it's Spanish.
Right.
Anyway, he bunged loads of money in, hopefully. We haven't had electric there. We've got a housekeeper that goes in every month for 4 months, and we are still trying with Iberdrola. And they go, no, you must not call this number because this number is Spanish-speaking only. And then we send them an email, no, you cannot email this one. And it goes on and on. And, yeah, the new husband was pulling his hair out trying to deal with it. So I think we might get electric this month, maybe.
Right.
So it gets worse wherever you go, I suppose.
You don't have a management company, obviously.
We've got a housekeeper who lives there.
And that's a housekeeper.
Yeah, but no, she's good.
And well, why don't she sort out the electric?
She's been trying, very hard. And we've also got the committee that run the whole place where we live on the mountain.
Right.
They've been trying, and they're Germans, you know, they're very efficient.
All blimey.
Yeah, they're very efficient.
Don't want to upset them.
And they've been trying. And apparently all Spanish banks are the same, because I said, let's move banks, but it's just not worth it. But anyway, it'll get sorted. No, it's just another language out there and another way of doing
it. Yeah, Spanish.
I tried to get married there, actually.
Anyone in particular?
New husband.
Oh, right, okay.
Many years ago. And it was just, you know, today you must go to this office to make appointment for another day.
They were Russians, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's my Spanish accent.
Oh, right.
No, my Russian is different. We had to go everywhere to make appointments, galloping around the town.
Talking about stupidity and Russian.
Yeah.
Did you see that mob in America? I can't remember who they were. It was some big...
Biden?
No, not him. He was too stupid to do anything. It was a company that owned bars across the East Coast, so across New York and Connecticut and stuff like that. And they made this huge point of filming themselves taking all their Smirnoff vodka and tipping it down a drain, okay? And you go, couple of points, lads, yeah? You've already paid for that.
Yeah.
So the people that sold you the Smirnoff vodka aren't going to suffer.
Mm.
Second point, Smirnoff vodka is made in West Acton in London by the Diageo company. It's not remotely Russian.
Mm.
And you've just destroyed £20,000 worth of inventory that you've already paid for.
Point three, you've given a lot of fish a hangover.
So something good came out of it.
Yeah. I was going to ask
pre-marinated sea bass.
Exactly. Fabulous. In fact, I'm going to pop into talking of shopping local, because we've got the lovely Neville Gaunt on later on the show. And I shall be popping into the lovely Good Shed in Canterbury to get my fish from...
Hake.
Yeah. Might be a hake. Might be some crab tonight. I've got a little bit of salad. Might do a crab salad. What do you think? Nice weather, isn't it? Glass of wine, crab salad.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I shall be seeing lovely Shane.
And nothing against Good Shed, because it's fabulous, and I love it there and everything. Mm. But you live in Whitstable. Can't you get a crab off the beach?
I could probably go crabbing, but by the time I get home, you know, I've lost the will to go crabbing.
Is there not a crab shed there?
No. There's the old seafront fish place, and there's Wheelers, of course.
Yeah, you know, that's a restaurant.
Yeah, but no, you can take away. You can go and buy fish, seafood.
Okay.
And there's on the harbour.
I'm not suggesting you shouldn't shop at Good Shed, because the Good Shed's wonderful. It just seemed odd that
I live in Whitstable.
You didn't buy a crab off the beach. That was all.
No. Well, you do know that they release sewage quite a lot in where we live as well. So I'm hoping that the crabs from over the other side.
Well, everyone releases sewage. You don't want to keep it hanging around, do you?
Do you know, I was walking at the weekend in... where was I walking? I can't remember. Ramsgate or somewhere. I can't remember where I was walking. Anyway, by the sea.
Mm.
And I could smell a very strong smell of, like, disinfectant, Dettol.
Right.
Oh, it was Herne Bay.
Right.
And my new husband... I said, there must be a sewage thing coming out here. And he said, no, there's not here. But there were two pipes, and the smell of detergent, like Dettol, was really strong.
Right.
So it's where the campsite is. So, yeah, we're swimming in that sea and we're eating our fishes from that sea. Do you say fishes or one fish, two fish?
I wouldn't eat any under no circumstances.
Do you say one fish, two fish?
What?
Yes, you do.
One fish, two fish?
Yes.
Talking of language, Neville, this will get you. You know, it gets my goat when people, you know, when we get Americanisms.
Talking of goat,
too much. You can tell us in a minute about milk.
No, I don't want to.
No, you will. I'm sure you will. So... you know, it gets my goat when we get Americanisms and we've got Netflix happening. So kids are growing up saying, you know, awful things. So going home the other day, I had Radio 2 on. And you know the little bit that goes by on your radio, synopsis of what's going on. And it said, Sarah Cox will be talking about how you've gotten about during... And that's the BBC. I nearly fell out my car. I was furious. Mm. I couldn't take a picture of it because I was driving. But it actually said gotten on the BBC.
Blimey.
So I talked to my new husband about it. It's, yeah, it gets my goat. Talking of goats.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you're just being stubborn.
Like a goat.
Yeah, exactly.
Stubborn as a goat. Yeah, I knew that.
I want to tell you about something that some friends of mine are trying to organise. It's a quiz night, okay?
Lovely.
And it's going to... it's a charity quiz night, and it's sponsored by a software company called Sard JV, S-A-R-D, Sard JV. And they're raising funds for the Kent and Medway Medical School. But the quiz night is hosted by Angela Barnes. Yeah, now Angela Barnes is a comedian. They're calling the quiz night Trivia Ectomy, right? And it says getting answers out of you. Did you see what they did there? And it's hosted by Angela Barnes. Now Angela is known for News Quiz, Mock the Week, Live at the Apollo, House of Games Champions, and so on and so forth. Now, not many people know this, though. Angela is born and bred Maidstone girl. Yeah. Anyway, this event is taking place on Thursday the 31st of March, 7:30 till 10:30, and it's happening at the Pears Building at the Kent and Medway Medical School on the campus of the University in Canterbury. And they are looking for people to assemble tables of 10. So a team of 10, it's £100, and light refreshments are included. Now,
the Pears Building.
Yeah. The raffle prizes alone are awesome and equate to thousands of pounds worth of prizes. The lead prize is a stay in the Nightingale Suite and dinner at the soon-to-be-opened White Horse in Boughton-under-Bleam.
Mm.
That on its own is worth £500.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole host of other prizes. So listen, if you want to get a table together, or if you'd like to join me, because I'm trying to get a table together, let me know. But if you want to get a table together, if you go to eventbrite.co.uk/charity quiz sponsored by Sard JV, and that's Sard, S-A-R-D, JV.
And what was the date, Paul Andrews?
It is Thursday the 31st of March at 9:30 at the University of Kent in Canterbury.
So not long to go. So get your your finger on the
week
pulse
after
there.
Next, yeah. I mean, there's only a couple of tables left because they've sold a lot of tables.
They've
got a couple of tables left, and it's going to be a brilliant night. And if you'd like to join me on a table, drop me an email at hello@bizradio.co.uk.
Yeah, and I can vouch he's a good person to sit next to because he doesn't drink.
So yeah, I'm not driving you home, though.
You can get all his sort of refills and things. Oh, yes, please. Paul would love some more wine. Fabulous. We have a specialist food and drink marketing and branding company, Brand Relations, they'll be showcasing to the trade 5 new drink brands at this year's International Food and Drink event. Brand Relations have developed and branded each of these new drinks, which will be launched to consumers later this year. And the IFE, which is the International Food and Drink event, takes place at the Excel in London on the 23rd of March. Is that mañana?
It's tomorrow.
Gosh. Mm. They'll send this in very late. So this is tomorrow. They've worked with the founders. So the drinks sound very exciting. The Skinny Tails, a range of great-tasting, low-calorie cocktails consisting of Long Island iced tea, pear and ginger Negroni, and rhubarb mojito. And they're all under 63 kilocals per 250 milliliter can.
Wow.
4% alcohol. You can find them on Skinny Tails, that's like a dog's tail, .co.uk. And then there's Starkers, Paul Andrews.
There would be.
That's a range of sake. Sake-based cocktail.
Okay.
That's my sake, boys.
Do you have to warm it up?
Don't know whether you have to have it with a little bit of salmon or something. In vibrant flavours such as lychee and peppercorn, lime and cardamom, and ginger and lemongrass, all complementing the sake base. You can get that from starkersdrinks.co.uk. This is right up your street, isn't it?
No.
Not being a drinker.
No, they're all alcoholic.
No, they're low alcohol, aren't they?
Yeah, still got alcohol in.
Are they?
What does low mean?
4%. That's, I mean, come on. If it's under 13, it's no alcohol. Then there's the Lively Hive. There must be something there for you. A new twist on the oldest alcohol in the world, mead. I love mead. I did a whole show once on Scoff and Quaff. Mead, just tasting mead.
Were you talking about it or just drinking it while you were on
mostly
it?
Mostly drinking, yeah, yeah.
It was a long show.
Yeah.
Lounging in a sort of monk's gear.
In a monk's habit?
Yeah, that was the word I wanted, habit. Okay. Good that, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Glad you're listening at times. Mixed with spiced orange and hibiscus. I do love a little bit of hibiscus, if only I could say it. Lime leaf, lemongrass and cayenne and rosemary and lime. That's from thelivelyhive.co.uk. Then there's a vegan protein drink. We won't talk about that. And then there's also a no tropic sugar-free port powered by plants. Available in three flavours, raspberry and cranberry. Very good for urinary infections, I do believe. Yuzu and lemon. Lovely. I've had a nice yuzu ice cream we had with our old friend. Do you remember? In the olden days?
Yeah.
Yuzu ice cream.
Yeah.
And peach and green tea. So that is from operatedrinks.com. So there you go. That's Manana. You can taste them all at the XL in London. Let's get a coach and go.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from the lovely Helen at View IT Training, and she said, we'd love a shout out, please. We're looking forward to the show today. So do check them out on Twitter. They provide IT training, what it says on the tin, helping people with their Microsoft Office training requirements. You can follow them on the Twitter, View Training, V-U-E, IT Training is their Twitter handle.
And I'd like to person. This is from Leeds Castle.
Right.
You know them quite well, don't you?
I do.
There's a lady called Chloe Seymour, who's the fundraising manager. She would like to personally invite the Bunker listeners to join her at the stunning Leeds Castle on the 12th of May for the best night's sleep you'll ever have, because it would directly help to change somebody's life. So it's the 12th of May. You can register. They're saying the 2 years have been tough for all of us, but imagine if you had no home, no bed, no food, and nowhere you felt safe. As the cost of living rises, we need to make sure everyone has a safe and secure roof over their heads. Comfy beds, soft pillows, peace and quiet. I can't promise any of these things, but our night under the stars at Leeds Castle could be one of the best sleeps you'll ever have, because you'll be raising funds that could change someone's life. That's truly something worth giving up one night of comfort for. So you can email Chloe Seymour, S-E-Y-M-O-U-R, who is the fundraising manager there. I think all details of that will be on the Kent Business Radio website.
They certainly will. We've had a tweet from Paragon Drones. Hi, Paul and Jules. We would love a mention. Social media and mentoring sound like fantastic guests. Looking forward to the cheesy tunage. Well, the cheesy tunage wasn't easy this week, and it's a little... It's a little bit obscure. Jules will never get it because no one will get it. But I am quite pleased with it.
Is it alluding to social media or
it's to alluding? Neville's? It's alluding to Elle and Linda. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Chips and Dinks. Oh my days, Neville Gaunt. Neville is featuring on today's Business Bunker show at one with Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin.
The
and guests.
Famous.
Well worth a catch up if you can't listen. Absolutely. And Sarah Marsh Collins, we love a shout out. You betcha, Business Bunker, wouldn't miss it for the world.
And the Sarah Marsh Collins who's listening in.
I just read that.
Have you? What, saying, I'm with you there, Jules Serkin?
Oh, okay, well, I just read Sarah Marsh Collins.
Which one did you read?
I read that one. Where I she doesn't listen to me, does she?
No, but I'm
I said, you betcha, the Business Bunker, wouldn't miss it for the world.
No, it's even better than that, Paul. She said, language. I'm there with you, Jules Serkin. Gotten is a no in big capitals. Other pet H got others, you see. Now, reply back. That's never got my goat, but now I think it might do, now that she's reminded me. So reply back. grr. You just reply. You don't need to reply back. You don't need to say back.
Do you know the one I hate is reaching out?
Oh, God, reach out. We had an admin assistant.
I'm reaching out to you.
Yeah.
It is. Well, I'm not falling over, so don't. Yeah. Well, I'm not a toddler.
Yeah, it's the language. And also what I'm getting now is I'm getting emails from people I don't know going, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Jules.
Oh, I do that.
I mean, oh, please don't. In Essex, if we couldn't hear, instead of saying pardon, we go, hey. Hey.
Oh, in Kent, we go, what?
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We'd say, hey, hey. But I'm getting formal emails saying, hey. No, that's just rude.
You've gotten an email, have you?
I've gotten one, yeah, and no. I don't want to even know. DG East, have you read them?
No.
Okay, so they go, hi, Jules Serkin, and then they remember you later on and say, and old Vanilla Web. As an afterthought.
I am an afterthought.
Yeah. How about a shout out for a vehicle supplier suffering with ridiculous regulators and ever longer lead times from manufacturers, difficult business conditions, and they've used the B-Bunker hashtag, so we'll allow them to have a good old, shout out.
Yeah, Terry, who is the man behind DG East, has he's supplying my new car for this year. But my car doesn't need to be changed until November, but I've got to order the new one now to stand any chance of getting it in November.
I see that the Tesla's not getting good reviews, is it? The electric Tesla.
Well, they've had a few problems, haven't they?
Oh, you've got a bit tight-lipped, haven't you?
Bursting into flames isn't a good look.
No, it's not a good look. It isn't.
And there was a couple of nasty accidents in California, wasn't there?
Mm.
Where I think I'm right in saying that parts of California have allowed the Tesla cars to drive on automatic. Yeah, so without a driver, so you don't have to drive it. It drives on automatic.
So I can just sit and text people as I'm going along.
Yeah, exactly, except it killed a couple of people.
Yeah, I just...
knocked them over.
Exactly. Yeah. Rishi Sunak should be making an announcement, I think, today about petrol. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, that's a con as well, isn't it?
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah.
He's pre-announced already... before his announcement.
It gets leaked, doesn't it?
Yeah, by him. Yeah, he told everybody yesterday that he's going to make an announcement tomorrow. Yeah. What?
He couldn't release it yesterday.
Yeah, he's going to reduce the tax on a litre of fuel by 5p.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's...
Ireland done 17p or 15p?
Yeah, but it's also a con, because the price of fuel has gone up. It's a percentage of tax you take, yeah? So reducing it by 5p still means he takes more money than he was two weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he hasn't given us anything. It's just...
Well, I was reading about carers in the community who use their own cars, and they obviously have to use their own petrol, and they're saying that they won't be able to afford to... It's gone up by, I think, from £70 to fill up to 100 and something.
You've got an email in there about a bloke with a boat.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want, have a quick look and see if you can find it. Because it's very apposite to this conversation.
There's so many Leeds Castle things here, Paul Andrews. I can barely...
Well, don't read the Leeds Castle one.
Oh, a frustrated fisherman.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. A frustrated fisherman... Luckily, I haven't got the horse teeth in today. Yeah. Frustrated fisherman has craned his 30-foot boat out of the water and is taken it to a petrol station to fill up... in protest at the soaring price of red diesel. What's red diesel?
It's stuff you're allowed on farms and boats. It's rough diesel, and you're not allowed to use it in cars, but you could use it in tractors and boats stuff like that. But they suddenly, it used to be cheap as well, and that was the point, and they suddenly let the price go through the roof.
Whitstable-based Chris Attenborough says he can save up to 70p per litre if he uses white diesel, which is used by motorists across the country to fill up their vehicles. Wow.
So he's lifted his boat out of the water, put it on a truck and driven it to a petrol station and filled it up.
My God.
You know what jerry cans are around for.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think that's a publicity stunt, Nev?
I wonder what his main job is. I wonder what his main job is. I'll have to try and find him because he's where I live in the bubble. Very interesting.
Right. It's time for some cheesy tunage. Yeah.
And I'm not going to get it, you said.
No, nobody will, because I've never heard of it either.
Well, that's not fun, then, is it?
Well, do you know someone called John Bowden?
No.
Well, he wouldn't get it then.
I know the Bowden line of clothes.
Yeah, clothes. No, it's nothing to do with them. No,
very middle class.
This is a singer. It's quite a nice song.
They wouldn't say Gotton on their pamphlets, would they, Bowden?
It's quite a nice song, this, and it's called We Do.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. We do what we can.
Yeah, I like what you did.
Here we go.
And harvest beggar on the hill, doctor, lawyer, preacher, swallowing a bitter pill, pilgrims on the road to glory, hear the cynic's drowning cries, redemption's been forsaken, drifting in the clear skies. From the fool to the wise man, from the floodplain to the damned, when hard times come knocking, we do what we can. On the mountain, whispers on the breeze, falls pocket warnings, heralding another disease. From the rich man to the beggar, from the devil to the man, out to the garden, sow them in the soil, split the wood we gather, happy when we toil. From the fool to the wise man, from the floodplain to the
financial advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Mm. Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
That was We Do by John Bowden.
Lovely
do
little song.
Do you like
song.
It? Do you
I
like
did.
It? Do you see I what
thought,
I did there?
I thought it was very clever because, you know, We Do is the beginning of our guest's name.
It is. Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show the lovely ladies from We Do Social Media, Elle and Linda. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
How are we?
Yeah, we're good, thank you.
Okay. It's always great to have you on the show. I want to start off by being a little bit controversial, I guess, and getting your thoughts on this. And just recently, in the last few months, because there's so many things going on in the world, the social media seems to have become one big bum fight.
It's gone a bit bananas, hasn't it?
It has. It's gone really nutty with some real fruitcakes on there and loads of arguments, you know, people that don't agree with each other and all the rest of it. I just want some of your thoughts as social media people. Look, from a business perspective, you know, one of the problems here is, well, I'll let you answer the question. How do you feel about what's happening and where it's going and where social media is right at the moment?
I was looking.
Yeah, you look at each other going, I'm not getting involved in that. I'm not getting involved in that. Yeah. Go on, Elle.
I don't. I stay away from anything political.
Well, I notice also, I'm gonna tell her off now, Linda. Yeah. No. I couldn't find your Twitter account. Have you removed
it? I don't have one for Elle Cloak.
Yeah.
I stick with We Do.
Right, okay. Yeah. All right. I'll let you off.
The thing that surprised me is that it's even going on LinkedIn, where it never used to be on LinkedIn.
Absolutely,
It used to just be on Twitter, didn't it?
Yeah,
but
it did.
Now it's on every social media platform.
You're absolutely right, Linda. And one of the things that I'm really upset about with LinkedIn is it was the last bastion of some form of professionalism and business stuff. And all of a sudden it's become Facebook too, hasn't it?
I think it's everywhere, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to a podcast not long ago and it was saying around 70-odd%, maybe even higher, of trolls were troll farms.
Yeah.
I think we spoke about that last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
So you don't know what's real and what's not anymore.
Simple way to get rid of them, though, isn't it? Talk us through how you get rid of trolls.
I just ignore them.
Mm. Yeah.
You've here. Got It's a mental game, isn't it? It's not a social media game or anything technology-wise.
Yeah, you just block them or mute them or ignore them.
I usually ignore them. And if they really start to pester me, then I block them or mute them.
Mm.
If I really hate them, I'll block them. But usually I just generally mute them. I do have to mute a lot of conversations because I get reams and reams and reams about one thing. And, well, you know, after about an hour,
That is a problem on Twitter once a conversation's gone rambling.
Yeah.
And it's even trying to follow the thread.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's still interesting to those who are in it, but it's like 3 hours later and I'm still getting.
But one of the problems, and I'm very wary of this, is you answer a message. And then somebody replies, and then somebody else replies. And your instinct is to reply to those. And it isn't until you look up and you notice that there's like 10 other people attached in this message, and you're going, but 9 of them aren't even involved in this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I deliberately now take them out before I reply.
Yeah.
But then the people at the other end reply with all 10 of them back in there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and then you're off again.
And then you're off again, you know. And, you know, it's one that's a problem with Twitter as far as I'm concerned, once you've attached people. Also, in the early days of Twitter, it was quite possible to remove yourself from a conversation. You could untag yourself from a conversation.
Mm.
You can't do that anymore. Yeah, you either have to mute the whole conversation or block it or, you know, do something to it. But in the very early days of Twitter, there was a thing that said, untag me from this conversation. And that meant you could take yourself out of a thread so that you didn't keep getting done. But I kind of agree. I think, you know, it's a shame that LinkedIn is starting to go down that route as well.
There's nothing wrong with a healthy debate. It's just how it goes, isn't it? The direction it heads towards.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. Of course, all of these platforms are there as debating tools and talking about the news, and I don't have any problem with that at all. You know, I mean, it's a, as you say, it's a very legitimate thing. The thing I have with LinkedIn is it's all now, it's so-and-so's birthday, and you go, really? That's for Facebook. I don't need to know that. You know, this is, it's my account. I don't care if it's his birthday.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is that it used to just be for business, but now it's funny, actually, because in the social media workouts the other week, we were talking about whether or not we should put personal posts up.
Yeah.
And on LinkedIn, you know, should there be personal things on there? And you find that some accounts are really successful when they post personal, but they post personal and relate it to their business.
Yeah.
And that is when I think it's all right on LinkedIn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's when you're posting personal and then it's not really related to business.
Yeah.
That I'm not sure whether that's right or not. What do you think, Anne?
I mean, it's constant now, isn't it? Stories.
Yeah. For me, I think the thing that just looking at it as a business person myself and saying, this platform is for businesses, and therefore, presumably, you're trying to either attract new clients, inform people in an area of your expertise, or you're trying to elicit some information that you need. So, therefore, why does anybody need to know your political opinions on anything? Yeah. And that's the thing that bothers me, is it gets too political. Now, we're all political animals at some point, yeah. Even if we're not into it, at some point something happens that makes us go political. I get that, but that's not, you know, for me, I told you off air a thing that I saw this morning, somebody posting their political thoughts on people and people's political attributes. And the problem with that, posting it on a business account, you've just possibly alienated a few million potential customers.
And that's the thing that I think a lot of people maybe don't realise is that, you know, they're trying to get people to engage with them, and they're happy when people are engaging with them, but they may be engaging with them for all the wrong reasons. You know, LinkedIn especially is about, you know, making sure that people can see that you're a credible, credible business, and you know, see your qualifications. It's a bit like a CV, isn't it?
Exactly.
And then when people go in and start commenting on your posts, they're giving you more credibility on there, and they're just adding to everything. But when you're putting your own political opinions on there, or even your views on things that we all are concerned about at the moment, it's not really, I don't think, I wouldn't do it personally.
No, absolutely. There are places to do that. If you want to do that, there are places to do it, and you do it under your own name, not your business name.
Yeah.
Is my opinion. Yeah, I mean, by all means, long before social media, I used to waste an awful lot of my life on various message forums, political message forums, giving people the right good kicking. Yeah. But, you know, putting everybody straight and telling them why they were wrong.
But then that's the right place to do it.
But that's the place to do it, yeah. I also want everyone's view on this, because I'm undecided here. There's a school of thought that says people shouldn't be allowed to be anonymous on social media.
Oh, right, yeah.
Everyone's thoughts on that?
I'm staying out of the conversation.
Personally, I don't like just an egg for a biopic. I like to see a proper biopic.
Yeah, but the...
There's lots of argues for and against, though, isn't
there? There is, yeah.
Freedom of speech, but then there's the whole, you know, criminal things.
Depends what you're posting again, doesn't it?
Well, exactly.
If you're posting something that's controversial constantly,
then
I suppose the person wants to be anonymous because they know that they're going to be attacked by lots of friends and family if they come out
of
the closet, as it were.
Yeah.
So then they want to be anonymous because they want to get their point of view across, but they don't want anyone to know what their point of view is.
or that they're attached to that point of view. Yeah.
Exactly. So they're just looking for support, and then maybe once they get that support, maybe then they'll... say, here I am, it's me, it was me all along.
Yeah.
But if they don't get what they want from it, then maybe they remain.
They don't want to suffer the consequences of their words.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean.
And the other side of the coin, though, is that when people are anonymous, they tend to be far more outrageous in the things that they say. That, you know, if you knew that the person posting this was John Smith from Sittingbourne, so that immediately a lot of people would know who he is, he's less likely to come along and make really disparaging remarks, yeah. Not least of which because it's libel. Although there's a lot of people on Twitter that don't seem to care about that either. And some of them are journalists, so you should know better, but there you go. So, you know, from that point of view, is the problem is the keyboard warrior point of view, where people are anonymous, so they go ballistically stupid.
See, I think they should. If they want to have an attack, if they want to attack people and be horrible, then they should show their face. Mm. You know, obviously they don't want to, but, you know, if they're going to be brave enough to attack people, they should be brave enough to put a face to it.
But it comes down to whether we enforce that or not, that says you can't have an account unless it's, you know, publicly open. But I also get Elle's point of view, which is, you know, we don't always want to do that. And also there's a grey area here. I've got social media accounts that aren't necessarily anonymous, but they haven't got my name on. You know, they've got a vanilla web, even, although behind it you can see it's me. But the reason I didn't have my name is my name's already been taken by 43,000 other people called Paul Andrews. It's not always easy to be open. And then also you also have organisations that have social media accounts or clubs or associations or whatever that aren't people. Although there's always somebody behind
it. It's always a person's opinion still attached.
Yeah, there's always a person's opinion that's still attached. Yeah.
It's funny because we had this conversation because there's been, in the early days of Twitter, that young girl who wanted to work for the police.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And she was fired because of her Twitter account.
Yeah. Wasn't she a Kentish girl, wasn't she?
She was, yes. Yeah. And, you know, that was quite sad because she was quite young and it was before any of the, you know, really.
Oh, that was the police commissioner's assistant.
Yeah. That's right. And I really felt for her. I mean, all youngsters know now that that's not something they should do. But back then
we didn't know.
We didn't really.
And you didn't realise that it would be on forever.
No, you know, that's right.
That your footprint was always whatever you said.
This forensic delving into everybody's past is well over the top now.
It's not even necessary, is it anymore?
It's not. And, you know, we're at a point, I think, where if you do anything in public and everybody goes, oh, you once said something nasty about so-and-so, you know, 22 years ago when you were 12, I just think my reaction to it is, well, what do you expect? You know, it's like this rewriting of history nonsense. I mean, I despair of some of the people in the establishment in Western liberal societies and their crass stupidity. They've been banning things that are Russian, yeah? Like, you can't play Dostoevsky.
You can't spell it.
No, I can't say. But did you see the Space Museum have removed Yuri Gagarin from the museum because he's Russian? He died 50 years ago. He was Russian, but then it was the Soviet Union, and he's the first human being in space. And you've taken him out because he was born in Russia.
I'll tell you what, I watched a film, and it reminds me of all of this, and it was last week, and it was about the guys that went over from the UK and got all of the art that had been stolen by Hitler and his men. Mm. And it showed how much they, it's making me go cold, it showed how much they actually burnt.
Right.
And this is what it reminds me of, because, you know, that film has been made, so we know that.
Yeah.
But how much of this is going to, you know, stay in youngsters, my grandson? How much of this will he remember, or how much will he think is what people are just putting there that isn't actually true?
Yeah.
But I don't talk about that on social media.
Good.
You have now.
Yeah.
I'm on radio, it's different.
No one. It's all right, Linda, no one's listening.
No.
Absolutely. I just think that we're kind of heading in a direction now to me, it looks like we're heading towards a big metaphorical explosion here. in that social media is driving us further and further in, you know, not least of which the outrageous behaviour of big tech companies in censoring things.
Censorship, I was about to say, you know, it has become appalling.
The censorship that has been tripped them up already. Mm. You know, they spent last year censoring something. They even censored politicians and newspapers, which turned out to be totally true, yet they banned people from social media for it. I think all of those things allied together means that as a society, we've got some big issues coming along here.
We have.
That's another reason why you just got to keep quiet, because otherwise they can just ban you, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I noticed that my timeline gets definitely slowed down. I'm often not seeing people's comments for 2 or 3 days, sometimes longer.
Mm.
And there was a doctor that I followed, Dr. Anthony
Shadow
Hinton.
Shadow ban is called.
Shadow, yeah, what's it called? Shadow banning.
Shadow banning. Yeah.
So why are they doing that, slowing it down so they can read it? Or
No, it's just so that your views aren't shared very widely.
And then also what they're doing is people are losing followers, like loads of followers overnight. A lot of my
you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful about that, though, because I've seen that. You have to be careful. Because I regularly go through periods where all of a sudden my follower count drops.
Mm.
And there's two issues behind that. There's a lot of people follow you. When you follow them back, they unfollow you.
Oh,
again.
Yeah, I hate that game.
Yeah. And that's because they're, you know, spammy accounts or whatever.
Mm.
And then periodically, to be fair, Twitter go along and ban loads of accounts because they're not legitimate.
Or they're bots and things. Yeah. Yeah.
Or they're bots or they're spam accounts or they're criminal accounts. So, you know, people go, oh, my follower account went down by 100. Yeah, but there were 100 people that you didn't want to follow you anyway because they were just rubbish.
What apps are there now to... Because I used to do that one, I can't remember what it was called now, but they stopped allowing you to check your followers. What was it?
Yeah.
Just
Follow Back. Yeah.
Follow Back or one of those, I can't remember. Yeah. What apps would you suggest?
We don't use any third-party apps for Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, we just track the analytics organically.
Okay. And I was going to, on that track, I was going to talk about something else. Oh, yeah, a doctor, Dr. Anthony Hinton, he actually tweeted a BBC story about a death, an AstraZeneca death, and it was censored.
Yeah.
And it was a BBC story that had been in the papers.
Yeah.
And he's a doctor.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. We couldn't like it. We couldn't retweet it.
Mm.
And I think that then gets, you know, the whole point of Twitter is that we've always been allowed, you know, not to be abusive. I don't swear on Twitter or anything. But we've always been allowed to discuss.
Do you know, I mean, I know that there are some issues here as well, and you have to be aware of the fact that Twitter's conducted in multiple languages.
Mm.
But one of the big things that I think was the starting point of making it all go wrong was allowing people to swear on Twitter.
Mm.
Yeah. For me, I think if they ban swear words, okay, if you live in Scunthorpe, you're never going to post anything. Or if you're...
Poor people in Scunthorpe. It's lovely Scunthorpe.
Yeah, I know. Or if you're an Arsenal supporter, forget it.
Or Tenterden, you know, that's always a dodgy place.
Yeah, that, you missed the point.
Jeremy Hunt.
But for me, I'm a swearer. I swear all the time. Not on Twitter, I swear, or not on social media. I swear all the time in real life. But I don't like seeing written swearing on posts. I just don't think it's appropriate.
I actually had a debate about that on LinkedIn, and it was quite funny. So I put on there, you know, that I'm old-fashioned and, you know, who thinks that swearing is right?
Mm.
And then I had another social media expert come on and swear. And I said, oh, you think it's okay then? And then he said another swear word.
Really?
And this conversation was just going on LinkedIn. And at the end of it, I just went... Thank you so much for all of your for engaging with my post.
I think it depends how you use it, doesn't it? Because I've put I did a post the other day saying I effed up, but I didn't actually spell the whole swear word, and it worked really well because I was emphasising a point.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you just put in every other sentence, then perhaps not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not being a prude about it. I used to be on a political forum that actually did ban swearing. And what a lot of the members did is they invented new words.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. Do you remember Chris Hoon, who was a politician that got sent to jail?
Mm.
Well, his name became synonymous with a really bad swear word. So people would go, you Hoon. and you know, as fast as the people run, the administrator running this forum deleted these things, they invented a new word to replace the swear word. But that tended to be funny, if you know what I mean. Yes. Rather, you know, so you got the idea that they were swearing at you, but it wasn't that offensive because it was silly, if you see what I mean. But okay. All right, it's interesting discussing this. I just look at it that social media in all of its forms, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, has become an integral part of a lot of people's lives. You know, millions and millions and millions of us are on social media. I mean, I don't know about you, I'm incredibly sad. Most of my day is spent on social media, either reading the news or, you know, checking things out or posting stuff. But I'm also very concerned that it's getting out of control, you know, in terms of censorship by big tech that has too much control, and they don't, there's no rules. Yeah, in the press there are rules. In radio stations we come under Ofcom guidance about what we can and can't say and what we can and can't do. And the thing that drives me more bonkers than anything else is people that come along on social media and go, it's a private company, they can do what they like. Well, no, they can't, because the rest of us are private companies and we can't do what we like. So it's not true. The fact is that the big social media platforms in the United States were given dispensation, and they argued it through the courts that they weren't publishers, they were platforms. And since then, they've acted entirely as publishers, i.e. they edit whatever you put up. And they can't have it both ways, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, for me, I'd like to see, in the UK anyway, an organisation that monitored social media companies, yeah, that says, you know, if we get a complaint that you're censoring people, we're going to stop you.
There's an exodus, isn't there, from Twitter to Getter and these other platforms as well. I've noticed, like, a lot of my followers now have gone on to Getter and other platforms.
The problem I have with those platforms, I have an account on Getter, it's pointless. For the first week or so, it was great. I've got loads of followers and we were chatting. But it's an echo chamber. Everybody's exactly the same. Everybody's saying the same thing and there's no point. You know, everyone agrees with everyone. it's just a pointless platform because it doesn't ever move on to anything else. It's always just those.
But it might in future as more people go on.
It could do, but there's no interaction for that, they have just tied it to Twitter. So basically now they have an API between Getter and Twitter that says, don't bother to post on Twitter, post here and we'll post it on Twitter for you.
Is that can't be a legal API, surely.
Definitely defeats the object because they're all going on Getter.
Post it here and we'll post it.
They're going on Getter because of the censorship on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Bizarre. Wow. Bizarre.
That baffles me a little.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Baffling. That's a good word. I like the word baffling.
Thank you. Well, I gotten it from TV.
Did you? did you
tooken it?
Right. Anyway, social media gym. How's it going?
Oh, it's my little boy. It's so good.
Some of the videos on there are amazing. So we've got a free event next week. By Joe Bennett from Clockwork Moggy.
Yep.
And he's talking about Facebook advertising, but the last video I watched of his was about the metaverse.
Yeah, because he's our Facebook advertising PT.
Oh, it was so good, wasn't it? It was so interesting, talking about the metaverse and how companies are now moving to the metaverse. Mm. So when I have one-to-ones with my, like, B&I guys, I'm saying, have you looked at the metaverse?
I'm going to what?
I did a little tally of
I'll
all the videos.
I prefer cornflakes,
And there's over 80 videos in there already.
Really?
And we've only been live for 4 months, I think.
Right, okay.
In total.
Cool.
So it's 2 new videos a week. It's just brilliant.
We're getting really good feedback because it's free for charities. So the charities have been coming back. You know, as well as obviously the clients that are paying monthly, but the charities come back and saying, oh, thank you so much, because it's really helped us, you know, to move on with our social media. And some of them are just on Facebook, others are just on Twitter or LinkedIn, you know, and they're all getting something back from it. So it's really good.
Just before we move over to the newsroom, just give those people that don't know about it an overview of what the social media gym is.
So it's an online membership catered to building your online marketing,
primarily
your social media, but there's a host of personal trainers, all experts in their field. They all run their own business and what they do, and they're providing value and resources in their field of expertise. It's constantly updated. There's courses on there like Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram.
And this is a virtual thing or a physical thing or a combination?
Virtual, completely online.
Right.
So you could be doing it whilst you're on holiday if you wanted to. I don't think you would, but just
you'd have
case.
To be really sad.
I know, you'd have to be called El Cloak.
you would. I'm going to Ibiza to improve my skills on video editing.
I can think of worse places. There.
Yeah, well, one of our members does it while she's ironing, so...
You've got to be careful with that. You can answer the phone while you're ironing, yeah.
The wrong...
Yeah. Cool.
The thing is, I think it helps people on all levels. So, you know, even if somebody is a marketing assistant for a big company, you know, they know a lot, and obviously they know about the business, but there's so much in the gym that can help them expand their knowledge and help them help the company they work for so much more. You know, simple things and quick fixes that a lot of companies don't do that maybe should do.
And just a point to make, I think, is that during the evolution of social media, back in the day, a few years ago, everybody was just outsourcing it to people to, you know, tweet or Facebook or LinkedIn posts for them. That didn't really work. Because, you know, you've got an intermediary person.
Well, we still do it.
Yeah,
and
no,
we do a great job.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You should be doing it yourself.
Yeah, but it's not even just doing it yourself. It's having the knowledge of what to post. So I can get you to post for me, but what I need is to know what's postable, what content, and all the rest of it to get you to do it. So you can do the donkey work, but what used to happen is people go, "Hell, you do it," and you go, "Well, I I'm an electrical contractor," and you go, "What size is your screwdriver? I don't know," you know. So I think.
Well, we've learned a lot, haven't we, from having some really random clients. Yeah. So we could probably fix your radiator if you wanted us to.
Well, it's funny you should say that.
You don't know the length of a screwdriver.
And we know how to get rid of chocolate stains on your laundry.
Do you?
Yes,
how's
handy.
That then? What do you rub it with?
There's a post.
Oh, yeah, can't remember it now. Scroll back.
Chocolate brownie removal. There you go.
Yeah. I can definitely remove a chocolate brownie from a plate. No,
or gold.
But after my main course, always, of course.
Listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always. Linda and Elle, Elle and Linda, we do social media. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
I've had a bunker request from there's the lovely Ted Bassett Myers, who's a personal trainer in Whitstable, and he has just texted in because he's not listening. I've told him to listen, but he says, "I want to ask your advice, Jules, regarding Southeast Water," and I've got no idea how to answer this, so he thinks I'm very wise. You see,
you're gonna have to be really quick because there's a minute left,
right? So Southeast Water, he says, "I've cancelled my direct debit and I've received a letter asking to reinstate the payment. What is your advice? I don't want to have a direct debit with Southeast Water. I just want to pay them my bill." Mm-hmm. So after the news, if listeners listening could give us some advice, and indeed Neville, who's very wise, or you, after the news, we can discuss for Ted Bassett Myers.
Yeah. You're not obliged to pay by direct debit.
Exactly.
Computer say no, I think, is the answer to this one.
Yeah. You'll catch up with it eventually.
Especially if he has a meter. If he has a meter, he says, "No, I want to pay my metered amount, not what you decide I should pay."
Yeah, and they just keep it in their... We all need to look at our electric meters on the 31st, don't we, of April?
Yep, exactly.
We need to take pictures of it.
March,
yep.
Even.
March, I meant that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Neville. Good job you're here.
Yeah, there you go.
I've had a tweet from Kim Stevens. She said, "I'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker today. I would like to say a massive thank you to everyone for sharing my tweets. It's always very much appreciated."
Who was that from?
It's Kim Stevens.
Oh, we love her. Karen Kent. Yeah.
What a nice tweet to send. Yeah.
I wonder how her operators and her carers are managing with the petrol things.
Yeah, difficult.
Yeah, very.
Diamond Circle Weddings, a Business Bunker on Friday. We're at Bannatyne's Health Club and Spa in Broadstairs, supporting a fundraiser for the British Red Cross Ukraine Appeal and Oasis DA service. The lighting we supplied looked amazing. Thank you to Encade Images for this stunning shot. And they've posted a photograph of it. You can see that by following them on DC Weddings UK.
It looks great. And Beresford Accountants, hello to you. They're chartered accountants in Folkestone and Ashford, Zero Cloud and all that. They're on beresfordsaccountants.com. Hello to you.
Fantastic. Do you know what?
News.
We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. Right. And when we come back, we've got another fabulous guest to talk to, Mr. Neville Gaunt. So do join us again
after the news
in about 7 minutes' time.
Yeah, I hope there's something uplifting coming up on the news.
I would very much doubt that.
So would I.
Yeah. Cool. So here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.